Welcome to Hungry Dads, a couple of guys who started a podcast as an excuse to bring snack food into the house. On this week's show...
These can be good for stealing from your kids.
Like if you chunk a cell phone, like at somebody's head really hard.
And I'd be like the first guy to actually catch a clown.
As I approach the cauldron.
What is going on?
Hello and welcome to episode 78 of the Hungry Dads podcast. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen.
And tonight we have a very special Halloween retrospective. We are here to recap our 2016 Halloweens and talk about an entire Halloween candy spectrum based on our knowledge, research, and intuition. And then we are going to reveal a brand new pair of my Rod the Ripper Budget unattended cauldron recordings from 2016.
A true Halloween tradition at this point.
And then finally, we will hearken back to a old episode, our very first Halloween retrospective, where I quizzed Hugh Gallen on his Halloween candy knowledge and overall acumen in the Halloween candy world.
That's a classic Halloween favorite, Rod, and I can't wait to get to it. But before we do, I actually want to share one quick clip. I think it's an instant Hungry Dad's classic. I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago, folks, before the show, before we starting the official show, Rod and I tend to chat a little bit, just talk about what's going on. And we had a conversation that I thought was worth saving for our Halloween special. It's a little spooky, it's pretty goofy, and here it is. Last Friday, I had to walk to work at like 4 a.m., like walk to the train.
Oh,
it was really dark, and I was scared of clowns. Like, legitimately, like, I had this like whole fantasy.
It's a real thing,
I was
man.
Like, this is the thing. Time when you're going to see one of those clown people. You know, like,
yeah.
I didn't, but I had a plan.
What was your plan? I got to know your plan, man.
There
was no plan.
Like, I just was like if one comes up from behind me, I guess.
Like, I'll do a karate kick.
Well, I had this.
That would be my plan.
I was going to karate kick him in the nose. I don't know. I had a flashlight, and I imagine it had like a, you know, like a string on it. It was a hard metal flashlight, and it had like a, you know, like a wristband. I thought I could swing it pretty hard and clock him.
Yeah, I thought.
That was pretty much
when I was in New York, really,
the extent of my plan.
I thought about my cell phone as a weapon, like on the subway mainly, like if somebody like. Like, if you chunk a cell phone, like, at somebody's head really hard, it's going to stun them.
Oof.
Like,
you know?
And then I'm going to run off. Yeah. Like, I'll sacrifice myself.
Well, and then I was trying to figure out, so I have to walk down a giant, very steep hill to get to the train. And I was imagining, all right, if I have to run, I'm running down, not up. Up just seems like I'll just get winded.
Which all I can think about is, like, a bear chasing you, and you try to, like, run down a steep hill because, like... I guess their momentum goes too fast and they like start rolling.
It's clowns too.
I don't know if that's true.
I think
but
it's true of clowns as well.
Yeah. I'm
so
pretty sure
but
it
then
is.
I was like, but I, you know, it was rainy, so if I fall, but then of course if the clown's downhill, then I need to run uphill. And if he's a healthy clown, a well fit clown, I'm in trouble. I was just working the angles. I can't say I came up with any immediate solution, but I was on high alert, ready to deal with this situation. And then I had the whole fantasy that like I took him down and called the cops.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got this clown, everybody. I was like pretty proud of myself.
Got a clown.
I got him.
Oh man.
And I'd be like the first guy to actually catch a clown.
So let's talk about Halloween candy spectrums. And we've touched on this briefly in prior episodes, but we haven't really done a full spectrum of Halloween trick-or-treat candy types. Let's just jump right in. We can both agree that if you get a full-size anything in a Halloween trick-or-treat situation, that's the absolute gold standard. Because Halloween, I feel like, you know, you got the buckets, you've got the bags, and it's kind of tailored to smaller size candies. If you go shopping for Halloween candy, almost everything is a quote-unquote fun size. But every now and again, you will run into a full-sized item. And that, I think, is absolutely the best you can do. There's nothing better than that.
A full-size candy is exponentially more impressive. And what I mean by that is, you know, a full-size candy might be 3 or 4 times the size of a bite size, but it is 10 times more exciting and impressive because it's the size candy you get at the store. And someone at the front door just handing that out to you really, really is a blessing. Let me just say it. The only mild fallout I'll share is something we actually heard from our friend Tim the Enchanter in a prior episode.
Time warp.
Draw. Now, do you remember, Tim, what candy caused some of the greatest controversies? What type of candies?
The Skittles. We
Skittles,
had a house one time that were handing out the full-size bag Skittles.
Ah, Those people are heroes,
yeah.
Folks.
Yeah. Well, one of my kids ate theirs, and then the next day, the other sibling was eating theirs. And next thing you know, they're like, "You took my bag," and it just turned into a monstrous, monstrous fight.
Oh, that was Skittles war.
I had to sit there and be like, "You ate your bag yesterday. She's eating her bag today. It's enough."
And I'm guessing that kind of rational approach yielded no result in calming anyone down.
Oh, no. It was like two feral cats going at each other.
It's funny. When you first said Skittles, I was a little surprised at that candy because I would have guessed something chocolate. But when you said it was full-sized, look, that's something to go to war with a sibling over. So I kind of get it. Full-size candy at Halloween is a major score. And even if you're misguided and young and not paying attention, if you think you've been screwed out of a full-size candy, ugh, yeah, I'd come out swinging too.
Yeah. Time
warp. So moving slightly down the spectrum, and as Hugh said, this is a pretty big step down, but anything compared to a full size is not going to be nearly as good. But these are still very good, I would say. Any sort of chocolate-based candy that's a fun size, still a pretty good portion. You know, the typical size you'll get in a Halloween bag, but still chocolate-based, like your Nestle Crunches, an M&M's fun size is very good, a Kit Kat, things like that. It's still a big win.
You know, off the cuff, we're talking about Snickers, Kit Kat, Three Musketeers, Mounds, Almond Joy.
For example, with like Twix and Kit Kat, I think you get one and it's shorter. It's like half the size of one Kit Kat stick or one Twix.
Yeah, let me throw five different at you, Rod, and rank them quick as you can. Snickers, Kit Kat, Twix, Three Musketeers, and Mounds. Go.
I'm going to put Snickers on top because it's so dense and I don't love a full-size Snickers if I'm just getting a candy bar, but in a fun-size situation, it's very dense and it tastes good. Next up, I love coconuts. I'm going to go with Mounds. A lot of people would probably put that lower.
It's a divisive
coconut.
One.
It is divisive, but it's a niche one, and if you like coconut and you get it, it's a big win. Next up is Twix. I feel like Twix is solid, kind of middle of the road. You get the Cookie Crunch, which is still a little more dense. Then a Kit Kat. A Kit Kat I like a lot in a full-size, but I find a fun-size Kit Kat to be a little bit light. It's a little airy, not a lot of density there. And at the bottom of my list, Three Musketeers I just don't like. I don't like the nougat. It's a little too sweet and chewy, and fun size or full size, not a big fan.
Yeah, Three Musketeers is an interesting one. I'd put it last too, but and I think to myself that I don't like them, but then when I'm actually eating one, I say to myself, oh, this is better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, I'll still eat a full size.
I mean, I think the problem is they seem like the generic of them all, because there's no distinguishing factor to it. There's no nut, there's no caramel.
Yeah,
it's just chocolate with this sweet stuff in the middle.
Sweet,
like
really
it seems
sweet.
Like the poor man's candy bar.
Next up in my spectrum, this might be a bit of a surprise to some people, but I'm going to put Smarties and Sweet Tarts up next. Whenever I get a Smarties and Sweet Tarts package, I'm very pleased, and I think a lot of people are. I hear a lot of good feedback from the kids when I have handed out Smarties and Sweet Tarts. Generates a general excitement.
Yeah, I think one of the things that make kids excited about them is they're colorful and they come in a clear packaging. I think they're relatively low quality candies, but I do agree that kids get excited about them because you can just see the sugar right there on them.
Next up in our spectrum, and I think we're still talking about above average, but we're getting kind of towards average. I'm going to say a bite-sized piece of chocolate or chocolate quote-unquote bar. You've now got the Snickers that come in the small squares, which generally taste delicious, but there's just not much to them.
I'm curious to hear the rest of the category, but I consider this pretty low. I think we're below average at this point. Well, look, I think this is par for the course. This is the world we live in now. Fun size has begotten bite size, and it's a shame. Push comes to shove, I think one bite-sized candy is a disappointing haul. It's below average. It's fine, but it's certainly nothing to be pleased with.
Next up, I'm going to go with a fun-sized non-chocolate item. Things like Skittles, which a lot of people like. I'm not a big fan. Again, I'm trying to do this from a overall populist perspective of the kids. Skittles, in fun size, it's a decent amount of candy. That's probably your better fun size non-chocolate. You got Now and Laters, which I'm not a big fan of, and I feel like they're just not that good, and I don't hear a lot of excitement from the kids.
Yeah, I think as you're trying to be objective, you're probably on the right track here, but I do think you're underselling the fun size a little bit here, because there is a good volume argument, and you've ranked, say, a fun size Skittle below a bite-sized chocolate, and look, you're right. people love chocolate. It seems to be kind of the favorite. But I do think volume is a significant factor. The size of the candy is important. I think bite-sized chocolate and fun-sized chewy, fruity candy, I think they're neck and neck. I think you could probably, you know, pull 100 people and get 50-50 down the middle on that issue.
Next up, and I'd say now we're kind of like straying into the below average, but not horrible category. And I'm going to go with kind of the single serving or single individual candy pieces. Sometimes you'll get a single Starburst or a single Hershey's Kiss, which as far as quality goes, I'm excited. I like a Hershey's Kiss a lot, but you're getting pretty low in the quantity realm here. You're just getting a tiny bit of something.
Again, I think this is, it's certainly I'm going to eat it or steal some from my kids. And in fact, these can be good for stealing from your kids because they're a little less noticeable. Compare that to, you know, the items we've talked about from now. They're going to remember that those are missing and be, right. You know, they've taken probably a pretty significant accounting of their candy. These Hershey Kisses, single Starburst, they're harder to keep track of. So for pilfering, they're actually pretty good.
So next up in the Halloween candy spectrum, and I would say we're pretty squarely below average at this point, I'm going to go with hard candy or peppermints. Sometimes you'll get butterscotch or peppermints, and it's generally disappointing. Even if they give you a handful, sometimes they'll give you like two or three. I'm still a little disappointed when I see a hard candy. I feel like it's a little old-fashioned.
Yeah, this is no good. You should be able to get one or two or three of these free at the dry cleaner any day of the week. This is not a Halloween candy.
And I would say the lowest end of my spectrum, which might be a little surprising, my lowest end would be chewy, chocolatey, but gross kind of confections that get stuck in your molars. I would put Tootsie Rolls in this category. I would put the gross orange and black wrapped cheap candies. Do you know what I'm talking about? They look like bubble gum, but like they're just orange or black.
Oh, and they're like, and they're like, they're not taffy and they're not toffee.
Yeah, we don't know what
they're,
they are.
They're these Halloween candies, and sometimes they have peanut butter in the middle, quasi peanut butter.
Oh, they're terrible.
These are pretty low.
With Tootsie Rolls, you may remember my first covert cauldron. I approached an unattended cauldron on Halloween, and you can hear the disappointment in my voice.
Time warp. This is Rod the Ripper Budget. It's 7:48 p.m. Eastern Time on Halloween night. I've spotted an unattended cauldron. I'm not sure what candy is in it, but I am about to covertly go up there and try to get something. It's a pretty densely populated night. Friday night, as I said. This is risky. I'm making my way up the yard. Definitely voices in the distance approaching the cauldron. It's Tootsie Rolls. This is bad. I'm just going to take a few Tootsie Rolls.
Time warp.
For our uninitiated listeners, when he says unattended cauldron, he's talking about that house who couldn't be there to hand out candy, so they put a cauldron out of candy, you know, for kids to come take one or two, and Rod approached in an undercover fashion to go get some candy, and he saw only Tootsie Rolls, and you listen back, because you can hear it in his voice. There's just, he's breathless, he's disappointed. Ugh. Tootsie Rolls, this is bad. I remember exactly what you said, Rod, and it was bad.
Yep.
On Tootsie Rolls, we've been very hard on Tootsie Rolls in this show. They've come up at least four or five times, and I think it's warranted to be tough on them because I do think they're so – not only are they not of great quality as a candy, but they are so ubiquitous at Halloween. They end up everywhere, maybe because they're cheap. You know, I think that they just are – they're a very unexciting candy to get.
So without further ado, what we've all been waiting for, clearly, is the 2016 version of my unattended cauldron attempts. And there were multiple attempts this year for the first time ever. I have two recordings.
I've been waiting for this since November 1st, 2015, so this is a special time.
This is Rod the Ripper Budget, Halloween night. About ready for unattended cauldron year 3. I spotted a new one. It's in a different part of the neighborhood. It's well lit. It's up on the porch, but I'm going to go for it. I'm leaving behind my 3-year-old in a wagon, crossing the lawn right now. It's just a floodlight situation. Everybody can see me, but I think they're even home. I'm just going to grab something. It's not great. It's like some Smarties. I'll take that. Yeah, some other people coming up wondering why an adult is taking candy. I got some Smarties. There was a variety of stuff, but Smarties was about the best. Hard candies, no chocolate. Rod the Ripper budget unattended cauldron attempt number two. Much later now. Not a lot of people around. I've spotted one. Some dramatic music playing in the background. Not a lot of people around. The house is illuminated, but the cauldron is kind of out in the driveway. Happy Halloween! I've been busted by some kids riding by on a golf cart as I approach the cauldron. The music is coming from an adjacent house. Let's see what we have. We have an empty... Oh, wait, what is that? There is a single yellow Skittle in the cauldron. I'm a little conflicted, but I'm going to put it back.
Wow. Well, that...
Yeah, so with the second cauldron there, here's what went through my mind in a matter of about half a second. There's nothing in there, disappointment. And then I see a single yellow Skittle, and my animal-based instinct, I was excited. I was like, oh, I'm going to eat that Skittle. And then right after that, what kept me from doing it, honestly, was it's a trick. Like, somebody threw a yellow Skittle in here. That's some sort of trick.
It could have been sucked on or stuck in someone's ear. Well, I will say the music really set a tone because I found myself, you know, the theater of the mind, trying to lean over to see what was in that bowl, your reactions and the music. And I pictured like kind of, it's like an Indiana Jones type of vibe. Like, you know, I will say that was some loud music. These neighbors.
Yeah. Just to reiterate, that's not our sound effects here at the show. That was our neighborhood.
And what's the theory, if you have one, on the unattended cauldron in that the candy tends to be perhaps of low quality? You find that more often. I actually have a theory, but I'm curious to know if you have anything.
The only thing, and this is getting pretty deep, is maybe the people aren't that into Halloween in the first place, and or they're worried it's going to get like taken, like, just one punk kid's going to take the whole thing, so don't make it too enticing, because if you put, like, giant Kit Kats out there, somebody might just take them all.
Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed it with your second choice, and just having been a first-time cauldroner this year, that was part of our calculation. I mean, we bought basically three bags of various candy, and one of them was chocked full of Tootsie Rolls. You know, I went a little selective. I realized, you know, let's pluck out those Twix, let's pluck out those Snickers, let's not put those right down on the porch, because there was an expectation we'd come home, we would be able to greet some trick-or-treaters, and we wanted something good for them. So I think it probably is a calculation, just like you said.
Time warp. Okay, and for our Halloween episode, I've come up with a couple of kind of quick-hitting Halloween-themed quizzes and surveys for tonight. The first one is a segment I'm going to call Halloween Hints, and this is how it works. I'm going to give Hugh some words or phrases that are hints to common Halloween candies. The first clue will be the most obscure, and they will get progressively more blatant until hopefully Hugh gets the answer within the allotted time of approximately 10 seconds. We can't go on forever. If he doesn't get it, I'm just going to cut him off. If you ever watched the old game show Password, that's the basis and inspiration for this segment. And I have 5 questions for Hugh. Are you ready, Hugh?
I am ready.
Number 1. Conic shape. Tricolor. White, orange, yellow. Oh. Nebraska candy.
Oh, rocket
don't
pop.
Don't be corny.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. Candy corn. That was shameful. All right. I had my head on the lollipops.
I love that I threw Hugh for such a loop.
You did.
There.
You killed me there. And that was a gimme. All right. Let me get my game face on.
Yeah.
Now.
Now you know what to expect. Are you ready for question
number 2? I am ready.
Chewy. Don't swallow.
Bubble gum.
Very good.
Right.
He's on his
game
now.
Okay.
He knows what to expect. Question number 3. Elephants.
Peanuts. Candy peanuts.
Bad reputation.
Circus peanuts.
That's right. Circus peanuts. Hugh is coming back. He's redeeming himself. Number 4. Small and round. M&M's underrated cousin.
Smarties.
E.T.
Reese's Pieces.
There you go. Well done. Interesting that Smarties are M&M's underrated
no,
cousin.
No,
I
yeah,
like that.
Maybe, okay.
It's a good insight into your mind.
Well, underrated, I immediately went to Smarties.
Last but not least, are you ready?
Ready.
Bart Simpson.
Butterfinger.
Yes, I knew you would get that on the Bart Simpson. Very good. I know Hugh and gave him a softball at the end.
That was, I mean, you start with any sort of marketing campaign, I'm going to cue right in. All right, good, good. Feel free to give me a challenge like that from time to time. I think I could get used to this.
And the second segment is more of a survey, which I think will lend itself to some follow-up discussion. So, Hugh, I've got a list of 20 Halloween items that one might get while trick-or-treating. Some of these are a bit more old school from my childhood growing up in the 80s. Some are more new school, and some are just kind of general items that span all generations. For each item, I want you to say trick if you think it's a disappointing item to get, treat if you think it's a good item, and hungry dad's hubba hubba if you think it's just an amazing, wonderful, eye-pop-out-of-your-head item. So some other general ground rules. These are all items that I've obtained as a kid or seen obtained, whether it be as a kid or an adult watching a kid get them. Assume the portion size is similar for all these, what you would expect at Halloween, unless it's specifically indicated in the description. And Hugh, this is super rapid fire. If you don't answer within about 2 seconds, I'm moving on to the next
trick,
one.
Trick, treat, hungry dad's hubba hubba.
There you go.
I'm ready.
3 pieces of bubble gum.
Trick.
Kit Kat.
Treat.
Non-edible vampire teeth.
Treat.
Homemade popcorn ball.
Treat.
1 pack of Smarties.
Trick.
3 packs of Smarties.
Trick.
Snickers.
Treat.
Nerds in the flavor of your choice.
Treat.
Dental floss.
Trick.
Caramel apple.
Trick.
Regular apple.
Terrible trick.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Treat.
A dollar.
Treat.
Garbage Pail Kid cards.
Treat.
Skittles.
Treat.
1 Jolly Rancher.
Trick.
A handful of Jolly Ranchers.
Treat.
Payday.
Treat.
Hershey's Kiss.
Trick.
A spooky plastic spider.
Trick.
Okay, that's it. That's all 20.
For a hubba hubba, you're going to have to throw in there a full-sized candy bar, as opposed to... I assumed fun sizes on everything. If you'd have said a full-size anything, I would have gone hubba hubba for it.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I intentionally did not put full-size anything, because I was curious to see if I would get a hubba hubba out of any of these. And I did not, which I think is fair. I think that's good. It's good of you, giving fair statements and not going overboard on anything. A couple of things I found interesting. You were very robust on the Smarties earlier on, but you think 3 packs is too chintzy?
Yeah, you know, I guess I think that they're underrated, but 3 packs, imagining the weight, there's just not much there. You compare that to 1 fun-size Snickers, it's still not as hearty or robust. And I can enjoy a Smarties, but, you know, I need a handful of Smarties to really feel like I've gotten away with something.
Yeah, it's not a very filling snack, I'll give you that. Caramel apple as a trick, I'm a little surprised just because it's a big, hearty thing. It's homemade. I personally think caramel is tasty. Apple is a fruit, which I can see as being a bit of a turnoff, but what was your thinking there?
It's mostly fruit. I imagine getting a caramel apple as a kid, and I remember there being a lot of pressure when I decided I wanted to eat it. My parents were very concerned about it being messy. There was a lot of talk about how I was going to eat it and when I was going to eat it, and my mom wanted to cut it up. It just was stressful. It wasn't enjoyable. And by the time I got through the caramel, my mom was started. I just would get started. I was already being told I was a mess. It was being taken away from me. And I pretty much was getting to apple anyway. So I think overall it sounds better than it really is.
I think that's fair. It's a high maintenance food item for Halloween.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of stress involved, as you said. And you got to think about it. For Halloween candy, I don't want to have to think about it. Hungry Dad. Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production.
Yeah, I am certain that my daughter has gotten a Dorito crumb shower